Let's pray. Lord, bless now the preaching of your word. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Put a guard on my lips so that I will say only what is beneficial and helpful to this congregation. May I speak words of grace to them. May I speak words that honor and please you. Be exalted in our hearts. May we hear with faith and be willing to obey and trust and follow. Accomplish your good purposes in our hearts, in our lives, in our congregation today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'd like for you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our sermon text is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. As you're finding your place in your Bible, maybe you have thought of someone who in Tremont Baptist Church has impacted and influenced your relationship with God, who has helped you in your Christian faith and walk. I got Michael with a microphone. I think Abigail's got one. If you would, lift your hand because we'd like to hear your story. We just want to have a few. We got Becky right back here. Who else? Go ahead and lift your hand so we can get a microphone to you. You don't have to be afraid. It won't shock you, I promise. All right, go ahead, Becky.
My parents were married in the parsonage over on Harris Street many, many years ago. And they fostered in my sister and I the thought of that we would never miss Sunday school. So in the course of coming to Sunday school every Sunday, except when we were on vacation, they made sure that we went to a little church when we were in Arkansas on vacation. But in the course of that, I was blessed by so many wonderful teachers in this church. And when I was in high school, every one of the teachers I had blessed me and led me. And when I was in high school, I had a very special teacher who fostered in our class so many different studies, one of which was Revelation. And it piqued my interest in studying prophecy for the rest of my life. Really, I've been very wanting to do that. And I want to recognize that individual this morning. And during the course of that study, I made a profession of faith. Thank you, Dale Fletter. Right. You've touched my life.
Amen. Who else? Somebody,
Pastor,
in this church. Yes.
I just like to thank Becky for that, and I didn't deserve it. It touched me very deeply. But I also, when you mentioned this, thought of many people. One of the penalties of being old is that you remember a lot of people that nobody else does. And Bill Babbitt was one person that influenced me a lot, and I think Becky too, probably. And I remember just many of the things he said and the encouragement that he had to help me get into teaching at that time as I did, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, wonderful. Somebody else?
Oh. I'll take us back a few years, too. We first started attending church here in the mid-60s, and one individual that really stood out to me, Bill Babbitt was another one, but Ben Miller. And one of the first Sundays we came here, I remember he sang a solo. He could have called 10,000 angels, and that really touched my heart. But Ben did many things through the years, and he served right up to, I think, the day that he passed. He'd been here helping with Bible school in the morning. But one thing particular I remember about Ben, the church decided one time to send one of our youth to the World Baptist Youth Conference in the Philippines. And it wasn't budgeted, so they had donations come in. Well, and they had a committee that would select, and they had those that wished to go had to write an essay. And by the time the essays were in and the time came for the judging, there was enough, more than enough money to send one, and before long there was two. And Ben said, Ben went and put in the money for the third one, and then he went as a chaperone himself. Yeah. And so Ben had an impression on my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Dawn.
It wouldn't be right for me not to say something about the Aubrey family. They're a true example of it takes a village to raise a child. We have went through challenges, and my boys have made a connection with Pastor Aubrey. He has been in circumstances and in places that only God has allowed, and has had compassion and respect, and really embraced my children, as well as Victoria has held me and cried with me, non-judgment, and they've been a real blessing.
I just want to add to that, too. I think we've lived here for 9 years now, and it seems like it's nothing to do with anybody here, but it seems like God had a path that we didn't want to go down. We've faced a lot of challenges and problems. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned out of all this is that His will be done. Forgive the people that trespass against you. It's the hardest thing to do in life. And I think one of the things that I never, ever hear anybody in church be thankful for, and that God has spoke to me and taught me, is for your trials and tribulations. You never hear anybody be thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to say this, but I am thankful for those trials and tribulations that God has put us through, because steel is forged in fire. Mm-hmm. And that's how a Christian is made. And you just have to give yourself to God and let His will be done, even though you don't want to go through those trials and tribulations. But I, too, want to thank Pastor Aubrey and you, too, Pastor. You've both been there. I know Michael has been with me a lot and listen to my problems and has always been willing just to listen. Yeah. And I am so very thankful for that.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm not as old as Dale or Carol, so I'm going to move ahead a little bit. Three guys I think of is Jack Moser, Ron Brown, and Gene Gasper got me involved in missions and it's changed my life.
Yeah. Phyllis.
We wouldn't be sitting here today if it weren't for Sharon Wisenan and Phyllis Wisenan, who gave a great witness in high school and invited me to come to Tremont Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And I have been blessed by so many people and I'm so thankful we're here.
What great stories. And there's so many more. Thank you all very much. God has created the church. He has put us together. And He uses the church to shape and forge our Christian lives. God uses the church to have a profound influence and impact on us. God created the church for you, and He created you for the church. The church is God's primary instrument of spiritual influence and impact on every Christian. And it's through the church that we're able to have maximum impact for the kingdom of God in this world. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12, if you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this text, the scripture together? Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. May the Lord bless His word in our hearing. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us a very simple truth. You need the church, and the church needs you. The church is not a human invention. It's not merely a human organization or institution. The church was created by God, bought and sanctified through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit for God's purposes of redemption in this world. For many people, the church is irrelevant and outdated. Some see the church as being corrupt, and if we're honest, sometimes they're right. Sometimes there is corruption in the church, and sometimes the church falls far short of what we ought to be. But it's not because of a failure on the Lord's part. It's because the church is full of sinful people like you and me, and sometimes we step off the path, but by God's grace, we will turn back and get back to where we ought to be and live the way that we ought to live. Yeah, there are corrupt churches. Yes, there are false and imitation churches. Not everyone that calls himself a church really is. And sometimes churches make bad choices. Sometimes churches do things that they shouldn't do. But I want to encourage you, don't give up on the church. Don't quit on the church. Because when the church functions as God created and intended it, it is a source of great blessing and benefit to all of us, and it is a means of glory for Himself. When a church seeks first the kingdom of God, preaches the gospel, makes disciples, it is the greatest, most glorious body on all the earth. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us three reasons why you need the church and why the church needs you. First of all, you need the church, and the church needs you because the Spirit brings you into the church. You see this in verses 12 through 14. God saves all sorts of people. Verse 13 says that there are Jews, there are Gentiles, there are slaves, there are free people. This is the broad gamut of all kinds of people. You have the Jewish people and you have the non-Jewish people. You have the whites, you have the blacks, you have the English speakers, you have the Spanish speakers, you have the rich, you have the poor. Here in this context of the first century, they had free people, they had slave people. All ethnicities, all racial backgrounds, all social and economic backgrounds are represented in the body of Christ, in the church. There is a place for everyone. It's not our cultural identity. It's not our social background. It's not our economic status that unites us and brings us together. It is the Spirit. And the gospel is for everyone. And the gospel brings us all into communion with each other. The Spirit brings all sorts of people. That's why we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved not just you and not just me and not just people like me and not just people like you, but for God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." The gospel is for everybody, and the church has wide open doors for anyone who will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And it's the Spirit who then brings us together and forms us into one body. Diverse people who have nothing else in common except our salvation. Now, it's nice that we have things in common. It's nice that we can root for the same team and maybe go to the same school and wear the same kinds of clothing and maybe even vote the same way and all like the same music. But those things are totally irrelevant when it comes to forming a church. The thing that matters most is Christ and the gospel and the Spirit that brings us together. And when we have the Spirit, we have everything in common that is necessary for us to be united. We're told here in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that we are baptized by one Spirit. This idea of being baptized means that we have all been submerged in the Spirit. We're surrounded by the Spirit. And then we're told that we all drink of the same Spirit. This is a picture of the Spirit coming into us, indwelling us, embodying us. You know, as I was reading this verse, I thought about a fish. You know, a fish swimming around, swimming through the water. The fish is surrounded by the water. And as he swims through the water flows through his open mouth and goes through his gills to nourish him and sustain him. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit surrounds us, and the Spirit flows in and through us, all of us. He brings us all together. The Spirit brings us into the body of the church, and though we are many, the Spirit makes us one. The Spirit unites us to God and to one another. So when you're saved and you become a Christian, the Spirit baptizes you, He surrounds you, He indwells you, He lives in you, and that surrounding and that indwelling binds us to each other. And the great news is the Spirit never saves us and then leaves us. He brings us into the fellowship of His church, and He's always here among us. And I want to suggest to you this morning that to try to live independently, to try to live an isolated life as a Christian, is to cut yourself off from the main way that God is going to bless, nourish, and sustain you as a Christian. You all know people who say, "Oh, I like Jesus, but I sure don't like the church." That is such a bizarre concept. That's such a bizarre idea. Because God is at work in the body of the church, and the Spirit brings us into it. The second reason that you need the church and the church needs you is because God positions you in the church. We see this in verses 15 to 26. 1 Corinthians 12 compares the church to a body. And it says that the people in the church are like the parts of the body. Now, I know some of you have parts of your body that you like less of, or maybe a few parts that you'd like to change or be a little different. But the reality is we need the parts of our bodies, and our bodies is what we have. We need our hands. We need our feet. We need our eyes. We need our ears. We need the internal organs like the lungs and the heart and the livers and the gizzards and all the stuff that you have inside you. A body's not just one part. You're not just a heart. As essential as a heart is, a heart depends on the rest of the body. You stub your toe, you feel it from head to toe, don't you? You need the whole body, and the body needs you. The body needs all of its parts. A body needs lungs, and the lungs need the tissue and the bones, and the bones need the digestive system. And the digestive system needs that mouth, and your mouth needs hands to be able to get the food to you. And you got to have feet to carry yourself to the buffet to get more food, right? You got to have it all. You got to have it all. The church needs all the members of the body. And the members need the whole body. We're told that it's God who puts the church together. Look at here in verse 24. Verse 24 says that it's the Lord, it's God who has put the body together. He brings the individuals together in our church, and He unites us together. Verse 18 says that He arranges, that God places the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God brings us all together, and He fits us together. Matthew, as a little guy, loved Lego minifigures. Of all the Lego blocks that he loved to play with, his favorite was the little Lego men. And I learned because of him that those little Lego men, they all come together. You can pull their little hands off, the tiny little hands, and you can put their legs off, you can pull their heads off, you can pull all the equipment off. You can take them apart. You can even take the arms off and snap them back on. They're such a cool little toy. You put all those parts together, but when you separate them out, they're not a lot of fun to play with. But then you can play Frankenstein, and you can put all these little pieces on and be really weird. But the point is, the owner, the operator, arranges that little body just as he wants it to be. And that's what God does for us. He puts all of us together and unites us into this body. And what this means is that each and every one of you contribute something that is needed in the church. This morning we heard stories of people who would teach Sunday school, and people who would invite neighbors, and people who would sit down across a hurting and an aching family and walk with them through suffering and sorrow, and how there are people who are praying for you and sending you cards. You need the church, and the church needs you. God has put the parts together, and we care for one another. Now, this means that you cannot say that you don't need the church because God says you do. We see this in verses 15 to 20. Paul imagines this imaginary scenario where the foot says, "You know what? I'm just a stinky old foot. I got a funky toe at the end. And that hand, oh, that hand is so, that's a good-looking hand up there. I'm just not part of the body. I quit. I'm not a hand. I don't want to have any part of it." How ridiculous is that? Or the ear. The ear says, "I'm not the eye. All I can do is listen to this noise. I wish I could see the beautiful colors. I keep hearing about how beautiful fall is, but I can't see a thing. So you know what? I'm out. Forget it. I'm on strike. I leave. I'm not part of the body." That's ridiculous. How silly is that? But this is the attitude that too many people have. There are too many people in the congregation that say, "You know what? I'm not important. I don't belong. Nobody's going to miss me. I don't have anything to contribute. You know, I'm not one of those preachers. I'm not one of those singers. I'm not one of those teachers. I'm not one of those bigwigs in the church. So you know what? I'm just going to go home and sit at home and watch Grace Presbyterian." Don't do that. Don't do that. Because you need the church. Because God says you do. Hey, I don't care if you watch Grace Pres or any of those other guys on TV, whatever. But those people on TV can't be there for you and bless you and help you in your time of crisis. But we can. You can't say you don't need the church because God says you do. It also means that you can't say that the church doesn't need certain people because God says we do. Verses 21 to 24, the eye gets all uppity and says to the hand, "Hey, hand, I don't need you. I'm an eye. I'm good looking. People look into me and gaze, and I'm the window of the soul. I don't need you, hand. You're all dirty. Your fingernails are gross. Just take a hike. We'll get rid of the hands." Yeah, I can't say that. You can't do that. The head can't say to the foot, "I don't need you. I'm the head. Look at my hair. Look at my face. You stinky foot, I don't need you." You can't say that. We can't start excluding people and pushing people out saying, "Oh, you're unnecessary. You're unneeded." No, we need everybody. And there's not a single person that God has brought to our church that we say is irrelevant for us. Now, some members require a little more care. This morning, some of you got up and you had to do a little extra work on certain features. You had to brush your teeth. You had to fix up your hair. You had to make yourself presentable. But other parts of you, they were just good to go. You woke up and your stomach was just fine. Just give him some coffee and donut and you were good to go, right? It just works. You didn't have to get your heart pumping, your lungs breathing. They just do their work. But some of our parts need a little extra attention. And that's just the way it is in the church. Some of us need a little extra care and a little extra TLC. And we give that. We provide that. But there's not a single person that we say, we don't need you. So don't push people out of the body. Because we miss something when we push them out. Yeah, there might be difficult people in the church. There might be people who make things a little more difficult for us, but we need them. It might be easier to push some people out, but it's not healthier and it's not better for us. Everyone brings a unique and necessary contribution to the life and well-being of the church. And because everyone is needed in the church body, we learn to have equal concern for each other. You see this in verse 25? Verse 25 says that there's no division in the body, but the parts should have equal concern for each other. Do you have equal concern for everybody in the church family? Or do we form little cliques, little groups? We think, you know what, we want to be an old folk church and we don't care about those young people music. Or we say, you know what, if we just got rid of those old folks, we could have whatever we want. No, don't do that. We need each other. We need one another. One person's needs are not more important than another's. In Acts chapter 6, there's a division in the church that was taking place. There were two groups of widows. There were Greek-speaking widows and Hebrew-speaking widows. And the Hebrew-speaking widows, they were getting all the attention and the Greeks were being neglected. And the church leader said, "This is not healthy. This is not good." When the church body is hurting, it's when someone is being neglected and ignored and pushed to the side. We have to learn to suffer with one another and rejoice with one another. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. God has positioned us in the church. That's why we need you and you need us. Number three, the church needs you. You need the church because Christ works through us as the church body. Christ works through us as the church. Verse 27, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. We are His body. We're the body of Christ. What an amazing truth for us to comprehend. This means that we are His hands, we are His feet, we are His heart. beating in this world. We are His voice speaking grace to people who need to hear it. We collectively are His body. And as His body, He operates through us in this world. We extend His mission and His ministry, showing His mercy to people who need it. Each of us are members, and each of us are to be contributors to the body. So you need the church, and the church needs. This morning you fall into three groups, one of three categories. We have attenders. We have people who are showing up. Come check the church out. Get to know us. Keep on coming. Learn who we are and try to discern. Is this where God wants you? You know, you can't walk into a church for one time and decide, oh yeah, that's the place for me. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. So if you're an attender, man, I'm glad you're here. Keep on coming. Keep checking us out. But don't just stay in that attender category. Because once you've decided, this is the place that God wants me to be. This is where God is connecting me so that He can work in me and through me and for me. Then you need to move to the next step and become a member. You need to become a member of the body. We have attenders and then we have members. To become a member of the church, you profess faith in Christ, confessing Him as your Savior and Lord. You're baptized as a believer by immersion because we as a church are convinced that's the way that it's supposed to be. And then you're received by the church. We welcome you in. You make it known to us. And the easiest way for this to happen is after the service is over, come talk to me or Michael and say, I want to be a part of the church. And we'll go over the gospel with you and we'll make sure about your relationship with Christ. And then we'll introduce you to the church. And if you need baptism, we'll baptize you. If you've been baptized, if you have believer's baptism, we'll celebrate that. And we'll receive you into the church membership. When you become a member, you belong to the church, and we encourage you to commit to the church, to be a part of the church body. So there are some attenders, and we're glad you're here. There are members, we're glad you're here. But sometimes we become members, and we just kind of hang out. We just think, you know, I'm gonna pull my chair up on the deck of the ship, and I'm just going to relax and enjoy the ride. So what we need next are contributors. You go from being an attender to a member and a member to a contributor. And contributors aren't just simply looking for what you can get out of the church. Hey, I like this church because, boy, they've got great seniors programs. I like that church because they got something for my grandkids. I like that church over there because their music is good. And I like that church over there because their preacher's a lot shorter than the one over there at the Baptist church. Or whatever it is. You know, we like buffets. We like those smorgasbords. And we treat church the same way. And that's actually a very unhealthy way to approach church. The people who get the most out of church, the people who are blessed the most by a church body, are those who contribute the most. Those who give, who serve, who offer up themselves to be a blessing and a help to other people. So I encourage you members who just kind of been sitting back, relaxing, become a contributor. Offer up what you have, because what you have, we need. And don't say, oh, I don't have nothing, because you do. Every single one of us has something that the church needs, something that you have been gifted with, something God has placed in your heart, given you the capacity to do, to be a blessing to this body and serve in this community. So where do you fall this morning? Are you an attender? I'm glad you're here. Keep coming. But do you need to take that next step to become a member? Let's do it. Profess faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Be baptized and unite with the church. And if you're a member, are you contributing? Are you giving? Are you working? Are you serving? We have all sorts of ways. Are you ready to take the next step? Come talk to me after the service is over. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have given to us your church, this beautiful body that you use to accomplish your purposes in this world, that you use to help shape us and grow us as Christians. May we take the next step that we need to take, going from attenders to members to contributors. Because we are members of this body, and each one is important for all the others. May we learn to love, cherish, and respect, care for each other, to rejoice with each other when we rejoice, to mourn and suffer when we mourn and suffer. Fulfill your good purposes in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.